It is good to be back with Lisa up here. We have been talking about resilience, and maybe over the last few weeks I've been working on my resilience on vacation while Lisa's been doing some healing and finding resilience. You know, I was looking for some books before we started the sermon series on resilience, thinking I should do some reading here. And so I searched Amazon, and I found out that all the books on resilience, and there are many, they all fall within self-help, the self-help category. And as I perused the tables of contents, I noticed that almost all of them focus on what we do internally to build resilience. And one of the things I've noticed about this sermon series that we've been doing is how resilience is both internal, but it's also very much external, which I think brings us to our topic today, that resilience is knowing we don't go it alone. Now, as we've said, Lisa, you've been working quite a bit on resilience, and we have heard a lot about what's happened to you, but you really haven't had much chance to tell us from your own perspective. So can we start there with how you've been on this journey?
Sure. So over 5 weeks ago, I was going to Good Earth Village to pick up my youngest son, Charlie, from spending a week at camp there. My 11-year-old son, William, was with me, and we were in Spring Valley. We were not at a stop sign, but we were stopped with my blinker on to cross traffic, to turn over, and we were rear-ended. And since then, we've gone back, and we have looked where we were when we started and where the car ended, and it was a good 50 feet, so the guy who hit us was going... he was going pretty fast. I remember the loud crash, and then I think there's a few seconds there that I don't remember. I remember looking at my son William to make sure he was okay, and then we sort of turned into this gas station parking lot, and then checked on the other guy, and initially I felt just fine. My neck and my shoulders were a little stiff, but I thought that I was okay, and so I sort of continued on with my plans for the rest of the day, and it was the next morning by about 3 a.m. that I woke up and just felt awful, just felt miserable.
And at that point you had to make some changes for the weekend, huh?
I did. You know, I was supposed to preach that Sunday, and the big idea was that unexpected detours can change your life.
Vern had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, it was very nice of me to give him a nice sermon illustration, right? But, you know, I'd spent that whole week, like, going on long bike rides, trying to find a detour that would give me a great story, and, you know, those detours tend to find you. And then... I think it's sort of entertaining that the next day I was set to preach was today, with the big idea of resilience is knowing you don't have to go it alone. So I told Pastor Jason, I'm not looking at the preaching schedule. I don't even want to know what my next preaching assignment is at this point.
Yeah, that brings us to today. And
right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Now I know that from working with you the last 7 years, you're pretty independent, self-motivated, strong-willed person. I'll stop there.
Good.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
How has this experience been, and what's it taught you about not going it alone?
You know, sometimes I think you learn lessons by being forced rather than trying to learn them, and that is probably the case here. Initially, I could do nothing. I woke up at 3 a.m. on that Saturday, and I was in the Twin Cities in a hotel room alone with my 2 youngest boys. Now, granted, they're old enough to manage things. But I had to quickly call Vern and tell him I can't preach tomorrow, and I made phone calls to my family. My husband was with our other son at another tournament. I was at this tournament, and I had to rely on all of the other parents who were there to take care of my children. I couldn't even think straight to pack up the room. My sister had to come, and she took me into the emergency room to get a CT scan and checked out. I spent the weekend in a dark room in her house. I could just do nothing. I remember at one point when I was in the emergency room, with my sister. I could hardly stay awake. And I opened my eyes and I looked at my sister and I said, please tell them I'm usually a high-functioning person. Because I just, I could do nothing. And then for days afterwards, I just sat in a dark room and had to rely on my family for everything. And then since then, on my colleagues to just pick up what I don't even know what I've dropped at this point.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and so maybe a little resistance at first, but you learned that there was no other way.
There was no other option.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in our story today with Ruth and Naomi, you hear, and we heard it a couple times, how Naomi is this kind of strong-willed, seems like a proud woman, right? She does not want help. She continues to turn her daughters-in-law away. Go back. Go live your own lives, she says, and uses this image of once being full and now being empty, and the emptiness seemed to be so much so that the emptiness seems to be so much so that she doesn't seem like she'll ever be filled up again. And so she finally, at the insistence of her daughter-in-law, Ruth, relents. It says, you know, she doesn't say another word to her. She just finally kind of says, come, let's go. And over time, as the story unfolds, she realizes how much help that is and how the only way back to fullness was to be in the company of others who weren't as empty as her. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you feel like you resonate with Naomi at all, but maybe not feeling so empty, but was this a transformational experience? What did you learn about this?
I certainly learned a lot about resilience. It was over the last 5 weeks, I've thought numerous times, if you remember, just over a year ago, the roles were completely reversed, and you were on sabbatical, and Pastor Vern was off for his own brain injury, and I was the one left here, you know, with a lot of very capable staff and lay people, but that was a whole lot easier to be the one left to pick up the pieces and do the work and get things done than it was to be the one to lay back and need to rely on others. Mm-hmm. I've often thought resilience is, I thought about resilience a lot when I had three babies and I was going to seminary part-time and working here full-time. That was resilience. Like, I could get through anything for 3 months and just power through and I could be in control. But this is a whole other kind of resilience. It's being vulnerable and opening yourself up to others and thinking back to that first big idea in this sermon series that God's grace really is enough. And that's what we need to rely on rather than ourselves to get through everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, I think, how we in our culture tend to have this pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of mentality, right? And we can do anything for 3 months,
right.
And then the next 3 months comes and we can do it again. And that becomes the way we define how strong we are. But maybe one of the things that I hear you've learned is that slowing down and recognizing that we're part of something bigger than ourselves is a really important part of resilience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, for Naomi, one of the things I think I hear later in the story is how everyone who comes to her blesses her with the Lord's presence. The first thing that Boaz says in this story is, "The Lord be with you." And you're supposed to say,
"And also with you."
Sorry. Yeah. The Lord be with you. That there are people around us that have God's presence and are open to sharing that. And somehow that transforms her. And I'm wondering how you've experienced God along this journey.
Yeah. You know, I think I can say I have never, ever felt people praying for me like I did over the course of the last 5 weeks. And that's really powerful. If you've ever been on the receiving end of that, I've heard about it from people I visit in the hospital or walk with hospice through them. They'll say that, but it's really true when you feel it yourself. You all send cards. Like, I'm a bad person. I don't send many cards to people, but you all do, and it's incredible how powerful it is to receive those and just have people tell you they're praying for you. Emails, social media. You know, I'm pretty regularly connected with our partners in Tanzania, and immediately I was hearing from the bishop in Tanzania and the staff and the folks at the hospital all saying that they're praying for me. And when I think of how often they've said, it's so powerful to know that you all are halfway around the world praying for us, now I felt it. And it's an amazing thing. And I think that's also too where God has shown up, is that in this whole resilience piece, I couldn't do any of this alone. And so God is placing all of these people surrounding me. And it's easy enough. I think, you know, Naomi had this part where she just felt bitter and wanted to close herself off. And I think in those moments, God just places people all around us. And opening yourself up to letting those in is powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's that persistent, nagging person
right.
who keeps on showing up
right.
that God uses. Yeah, and I think about that for all of us, that there are any number of obstacles that we all face in life, any number of times when we need resilience. And, you know, many of us have experienced multiple events in our lives and hopefully have built some good tools along the way. But how keeping in mind that this is a spiritual practice and a spiritual discipline, that God is actually at work in the midst of our suffering. I mean, you know, the center of our faith is a cross, a sign of death, and yet even in that death, God works new life. God works promise and purpose. And I think that's, as we journey through those things, we have an amazing God and amazing people around us as the community of faith. I mean, we are God in the flesh for others. I mean, that's what the church is. And so as we go through things and as we see people, maybe we can slow down enough and gain some of that perspective to share a little compassion, to share a word of encouragement. Yes, you can do this. Yes, I'm there for you. Yes, God is with you, as a sign that we carry one another through our burdens. It is good to be back with you.
It is good to be back.
Little by little.
Right,
pole,
little
pole.
By little. Pole, pole.
Yes, slowly, slowly. Yeah. But thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.